Okay, everybody. So we are starting a new topic that that's very connected, actually, to things that we've done in the past of Scheres Poyalim, Scheres Karkois, all these things. As a matter of fact, the sugya, part of the sugya, is from the page right before Bava Metzia that we were learning last time. So that's, I guess, the excuse for the connection. But the shailas that we're going to talk about, shailas of shadchanim, of brokers, and then eventually also get to like investors and stuff like that. Like I mentioned, the shaila we had mamash just last week when one investor gave money to someone else and it didn't really work out, so he wants to take out all of his principal and the other guy wants to get paid for his efforts even though he didn't make the money, stuff like that. So we'll get to that eventually. But the juicy part is what everyone wants to know about is shadchanim and brokers in general. I don't know if everyone wants to know about that. I'm not sure everyone wants to know about it, but I do know that when I put up that sign, three people came over to me with different shailas that they had. 6 years ago, I had an incident with this guy, and the person who showed me the house, but then he fell off the map, and then I closed it myself. Do I owe him money? You know, all these types of questions that people may have. So the question is, what's the chiyuv to pay a shadchan? What's the chiyuv to pay a broker? You know, he finds you a deal, and then, you know, do you have to pay the person a portion of the deal? And then obviously the shailas are, what happens if the deal falls through? And what happens if all of a sudden he tells you, well, my fee is such and such, you know, and he didn't speak it out, or he did speak it out. What are the chiyuvim here? And the whole union of a shadchan, paying a shadchan, falls under this category. What is all that about? So the emes is, as everything, these are open halachas in Shulchan Aruch, and they've been dealt with for many, many generations, many years. So the first, I'm going to go to shadchan later. I'm going to first talk about a sarser. Okay, a sarser is a general term for a broker. A sarser, and in halach, he's called a shliach. He has the status of a shliach, okay? So the sarser is the shliach on behalf of the buyer or the seller to get him a property. You could have a sarser. You could have someone who was given money from a buyer and he says, I want you to be my sarser to go buy it for me. Or you could have the sarser on behalf of the seller saying, I need to sell this property. Go sell it for me. He has a din of a shliach. Now, the places, there's three places in Shulchan Aruch. There's four places, but we'll focus on three in Shulchan Aruch that this talks about, and then we'll figure out what the mechayev is, what's the sugya that this comes from, and then some of the shailas as a schala. So there's, we're back to source sheets. I have a couple. I put some out over there, David. Did you see? There was like four or five I put out on the back table on the way to the sukkah for here, and then I'm gonna. You can't share screen on this setting, on this computer. Oh, you could. Okay, yeah.
You did give us the link, though.
I did give everyone the link, and it's in the chat. The link is in the chat there, so you can pull it up yourself, or I'll bring up the shared screen here, so we could all see it on here also. But
it's hidden.
I'm gonna share. I'm gonna just.
It's hidden.
Wait, what? Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. Huh? No, let me stop this because it didn't work this way. Oh, here, maybe.
No,
it's
not.
It's that tab?
No, it's not the tab. That's why. You stop share.
I have to put it on my screen first, right?
Yeah.
So I have to put it on where?
I believe it's in the drive.
Put it on the main screen and then you pull back, zoom up, and then you hit share screen.
I don't want this.
No, it's in the drive.
It's in here. It should be here.
No, because it didn't go. It doesn't.
It didn't go there, so right. I don't know where it is. All right, whatever. So, I'm not sure. Okay, David, if it's easier to do, I don't know. Well, you could do it on the computer. I don't know how to do this exactly. Okay, whatever.
I'll do it on the computer then.
You could share it from there? Yeah, because you're the host. Okay. But I'm not going to be able to control it then. Okay. So, Al Kaponim, maybe we'll figure this out eventually. But the bottom line is everyone has it on the chat. So, and some people have it here too. So the page one is a Ramah. It's a Ramah in Siman Kuf Pei Hei. The Ramah says like this: Reuven hayu lo bayis limkar. Reuven had a house to sell. Uba Shimon, and Shimon came. V'sirsa l'moicher l'Levi, and he offered to sell it to Levi. Okay, he offered to sell it to Levi. And v'amar Reuven. So Shimon did a lot of work on the back end. He got He got Levi interested in the property. So now Shimon brings a buyer, a potential buyer, to Reuven. And he says, Reuven, I have a buyer for you, Levi. Okay, geschmack. Thank you. The problem is, Amar Reuven, Shalevi Soinoi. Levi? That's the guy you got? I can't stand Levi. This guy's my enemy. We hate each other. We've been in fights. We don't do business anymore. Reuven and Levi, we are not on talking terms. Sorry, Shimon. Nice try. I appreciate your effort, but I don't do business with Levi. Ve'ina writes to Limkorla. I don't want to sell it to him. Ve'achakach. Lo and behold, 2 weeks later, Machro Levi. So Reuven got rid of Shimon, and then he sells it to Levi. So, al yidei acher, through a different sarser. Chayiv litein l'shimin sarser rusa. He has to pay Shimon the dmei sarser. So this is one halacha brought down, that this is, you see from here, a chayiv to pay the sarser. Now what is the chayiv to pay a sarser? What's the yisoid of the chayiv?
Sarser is the broker. Does the current shaliach have to pay again? Like
what?
The first guy? The second guy?
Do you have to pay the second? Okay, so 1 second. So, first of all, what is the chiv to pay a sarser? Let's understand a little bit. Where does this come from? So the guy's a broker, very nice. So therefore what? So chesed, what's the chiv? So the chiv is that he is my poyel. He worked for me. He was tereach. So this is the sugya of schar poyelim. Yeah, I hired a guy to work for me. And Mimela, he worked on my behalf. I got to pay him. That is the chiv of a sarser al schar poyelim. Okay, schar poyelim. The question here is, the Goyim points out is that this Shimon guy came on his own. Reuven did not ask Shimon to be his broker, because if he would have, he probably would have instructed him, don't bring Levi to the table, right? So it doesn't say anywhere in this halacha that Reuven instructed Shimon to go find him a buyer. Just Reuven sees a for sale, Reuven has a for sale sign on his property. Shimon comes and says, I have a buyer for you. And now they're fighting about the sarser. So what's the mechayiv to pay in that type of scenario when you didn't even hire the guy? Which is a very common scenario, right? Someone will say, oh, I heard you're selling. I have an idea for you, right? So what's the mechayiv in that case to pay? After all, what? Oh, so the goyin says, very good. So the goyin is underlined here in Oysid Gimel. The goyin says, Reuven, Shapirish, Haram, the Maram Rutenberg says, time of the sarser, noital schar, the reason why a sarser gets paid, even if you did not formally send him, the sarser bo me'atzmoi, and the sarser came by himself, k'mo yoyrid l'stei chaveroi v'nata, v'armina b'bob metziak of aleph, itmar, ha'yoyrid l'stei chsadi chaveroi, you have to pay him. So the Goyin brings a sugya of yoyrid. Okay, Yoyrid, you went down to someone's field. So what is that sugya? So let's go and learn that Gemara a little bit, because we're gonna get some clarity if we learn that Gemara. It's on page 5. What? I could just do it from the chat. Why can't I just click the link? I could click the link right here and now share the screen. Right?
Yeah.
So now I could share that screen probably. So, yeah. There you go. Okay, here we are. Okay, so we're going to go to page 5. It's actually page 10 in this, because for some reason it got scanned in double-sided, so every other page is blank. So it's page, on the screen, it's page 10 out of 32. Okay, page 5 in the sheets. So it says like this. So the Gemara says, it's where I'm pointing, it's the sixth to last thin line. Last word on the line, and it says it's our seventh to last. It says, Itmar. Hayorid l'sech sadech averay v'nata shalei b'rshus. I see your field, beautiful field, but it's empty. I have a good idea. I'm a professional tree planter. So I'm going to go into your field and plant it and fill it up with trees and make it look beautiful. You're going to come back from vacation. You're going to be so thrilled, I'm sure, that, wow, my field looks gevaldic now. Amarav. Rav says, Shomin loy v'yodoy ala tachtoina. You actually have to pay. The owner of the field has to pay, but the worker is yodoy ala tachtoina. He gets the lesser of the two. The lesser of two what? Either the value that he added to the field, or the schar that it usually would take for me to hire these workers. So now, if my field actually increased in value significantly, then I have to pay him for that value. The lesser of the two. Either the increase in value to my field or the amount it would cost to hire these workers to do this work for me. Okay? That's what Rav says. And so watch out. If you go away for vacation, all of a sudden your house has a paint job. You know, a guy came in, painted your house. You may have to pay him for that. Okay?
Even if it's completely unsolicited?
That's what we're talking about. You know, it can't be bad. It can't be negative. But if it actually benefits you, then you have to pay. But I'm saying you have to pay the lesser of the two. You have to pay either the value that he added to the house or the schar that it would cost to hire these people. Now, Shmuel argues, and Shmuel says, Shmuel says, you have to evaluate the owner and ask him, what would he pay to get this done? In other words, it's usually like the schar of the tircha. So, Amar Apapa v'loy pligi. Now, this is important. The Goyin quotes this word of Rapapa. Amar Apapa v'loy pligi. Rapapa says, there's no machlokes here. It depends. Kam besada ha'asuya lita, kam besada she'ena asuya lita. It depends on what type of field you're talking about. Are you talking about a field which is actually, the nature of the field is, it's supposed to have trees. You just didn't get to it yet. So this tree, this field is in the middle of an area of the county, of the country, of the city that is made for orchards. So you bought a field and obviously it's going to be planted as an orchard. So it's a suyalita. That's the nature of the field. You just didn't get around to it, and then someone comes and does it for you. You actually have to pay him pretty much the going rate for what it would cost to hire this worker to do it for you, because it's a suyalita. That's what the field is for. But if it's not a suyalita, who says I want a paint job right now? Who says I'm interested in landscaping? It's very nice. I don't mind just having, you know, if I pay for landscaping within 3 weeks, my kids are going to destroy it anyway. So what's the point? So I don't need landscaping. So who says that it's a suyalita? So then you do Rav's equation, which is, do you want it? Don't you want it? You have to pay what you would have, you know, then you have to decide, did it help me? Did it not help me? But if it's a suyalita, if that's the nature of the field as such, that it's normal for this to happen, and you're going to look for someone anyway, so you talk, I have to pay him the rate that it would cost to hire this worker.
The cheapest rate to get this work done.
Right, you have to pay him for his work. You just don't have to pay him his rate. You have to pay him some rate, whatever it would cost to get this done. Okay? So what's the Vilna Gaon saying? What does he want from this Gemara? The Vilna Gaon says, the source for Sarasar is this Gemara. What is he talking about? The Vilna Gaon is talking in Remes. The answer is, the Vilna Gaon is saying exactly what Menashe was saying, is that you see from this Gemara that unsolicited work, if it's good for me, is considered that he's working for me, and he's considered it as if I hired him, and I have to pay him for a service. So even service provided to me, unsolicited, if it's service that I'm looking for, I got to pay for it. So Mamel says the Goyin, you want to sell this field. It's a suya limkar. You want to sell the field. It says a for sale sign on it. A guy comes and brokers it for you. You would hire a broker because it's a suyalita. So even though it's unsolicited, from this Gemara you see that unsolicited work that's done on your behalf, you got to pay for. It's as if you hired him. So Mamela, it's as if you hired the broker and you got to pay him the brokerage fee, or at least the minimum what you would pay for a broker.
Even if I wanted to just sell it on my own because I didn't want to go through a broker?
All right, but this guy also is the same thing. Maybe I would have planted it myself. Don't make a difference.
No, but the whole point of going through a broker is because you think that, you know, he's going to get an extra $20,000 out of this for sale. You know, it's listed at 430, he's going to get me 450. This broker happened to find me a buyer for 430. I took the buyer, but it could have gone to 450, or I could have sold it on my own.
You want to know if he did? You're asking now if he found a price that's not, well, so why are you taking the deal? So just tell him I'm not interested in selling. What do you mean?
I'm taking the deal.
Okay, so then you're taking it. So he works for you. If you don't like it, don't take it.
You could have had a different broker that would have gotten it.
So then tell the guy, I'm waiting for a better guy to get me $450.
Didn't sell it for you. He just found the buyer.
He brought the guy. Obviously, it's your rotzen to go with this deal. Otherwise, don't go for it. I mean,
let's imagine the broker charged $10,000. So you were willing to sell for $450, but not for $440. If now the broker is involved, you need to give $10 to the broker. So it's less what you want. you go directly, you will get the offer.
So then don't take it.
So say no.
So say no.
You still control.
You're a big chacham that you think that you could do better. So do better. No one's forcing you to take
question
this deal.
The question is, if you went along with the sale, now do you owe him his fee?
Right.
If you don't like the sale, don't go along.
Yeah, he brought you the buy. So the goyin is saying, all the chiddush of the goyin is that once he brought you the buyer, the point is, even though you didn't ask him to be your broker, if he served as your broker, then you have to pay him. No one's telling you you're forced to go, you know. Now, obviously, the part of the sugya is going to be, what if you did all the work, and then it didn't close on a technicality, and all this type of stuff. That's, the rest of this packet is all about that type of shaylas, you know.
If you did solicit, like a shakhtin, And you went over, is that still Yoyrid or is that Tzchiras Poilim?
That's Tzchiras Poilim. If you hired the guy, it's Tzchiras Poilim. If you didn't hire the guy, it's Yoyrid. That's what's going on here. Okay? So that's what the Goyin is proving from this Gemara. Okay? Now, we have to talk a little bit about the actual case that the you go back to page one, the actual case of the Ramah, but I don't want to talk about that yet. I just want to go through some of the sources in Shulchan Aruch so we get comfortable with the concepts, and then we're going to talk about some more detailed cases. So let's go to page two. Actually, page three, which is page six in the sheet on the computer, seven out of 32. But it's page three for those people that have the real paper, hard copy. So it's page three. So there's another Ramah. Okay? Here the Ramah talks about a shadchan, but he talks about an important halacha. So it says like this. This is in Kuf Peyes, if Yud in the Ramah. It says like this, where it's bracketed in the Ramah. It says, Hagah. A shadchan for a wedding, a marriage, havi k'moy sarser. He is like a sarser as well, like a broker. And therefore you have to pay him for his work. V'ma shadchan roitze, sheyishalmu loy miyad. When do you pay the shadchan? Do you pay him when they get engaged, when they make the deal, or do you pay him at the wedding? Because there's a lot of things could happen between the engagement and the wedding. Right? So when do you pay the guy? Okay, so we have one vote here. So let's see
what happens after that is up to the two of you. They did their job.
Maybe not. Maybe not. I mean, that's the question.
You talk about the olden days when there's two
different sheets
and a wedding.
Yeah, even nowadays they made an agreement. You know, I'm not talking about the kiddushin, the formal kiddushin. I'm talking about the agreement to get married. So it says you're correct that nowadays we do the kiddushin and the nisuin together, but the actual agreement to get married is earlier. So it says like this: imashatchan roitze sheishal mulay miyad schar shadchanusay. If the shatchan wants to get paid immediately, va'abaylim einam roitzim l'shalim ara nisuin, and the parties don't want to pay until they get married. Totally b'minig medina, goes by the minig. V'makom she'ein minig, and if there's no minig, hadin im abaylim. The din is with the bailim. The bailim means the parties. They can decide. And the goyin says, why? Because by schiras poyalim, we always go by the minig medina. Again, so he's bringing in concepts of schiras poyalim and applying it to here. V'makom she'ein tzarech l'shalom lo'ad nisuin. If the minig is, you only have to pay till the wedding. So you pay at the wedding. Okay, but does that mean that that's the time that you pay? But Lamaisa, we got engaged. You don't have to pay. Unless you made a tanai, that, you know, that I just want you, the shadchan, to get us to agree to get married. That's what I'm hiring you for. I want you to look out for my daughter. I want you to make sure that we find the chasen. Then, like Menachem said, after that point, you're off the hook. Then, in tzarech l'shamlim miyad afilu yachziru bahen. So there is such a way to look at it that even if it didn't go through, but if we got to the point where we agree, that's enough. Okay. Now, apparently, there's a minig in those days. Let's stop chair for a minute. Apparently, there's a minig in those days that when they would set up an engagement, and they would set up a shtar that would say that if one of the parties is chayzer, he has to pay a knas. If he goes back and he breaks the engagement, he's got to pay a knas, a fee or a penalty to the other side. So Frek the Marshal Akasha, the Shach brings it down, and he says, why is it that why can't the Shadchan Taina, look, I got you this far, I got you to the point that if the other side will want to be Chayzer, they have to pay you. So I got you something. I got you at least an insurance policy. What? So the Marshal holds that therefore, in a place that they agree, that the agreement is such that if they would break the engagement, one side would have to pay the other side a knas. In that case, the shatran does get paid. Okay? Now, the Sma brings down this marshal. He says, I don't understand. The point of the knas is to cover the embarrassment of the other side. This is not, you're not walking away with any benefit. What did the shatran help you? The shatran helped you that what? That if they're choyzer, now I get a knas. But look in the lashon of the knas. The knas is there because they embarrassed the other side to the point that this is the damages. So I'm walking away that you damaged me, but you got me insurance for the damage. So I'm just covered. I walk away. I'm walking away. What?
No better off.
I'm walking away no better off. They offset each other. The embarrassment is offset by the knas. And it's very nice. You got me a knas, but you also made me suffer this terrible embarrassment. The guy paid me the knas. You didn't get me anything out of this, and therefore I'm not paying you till the wedding. So therefore, there's a machlekes here between the shach and the sma. What would happen in such a case where there's a set of a knas? Okay. Now, the marshal says a very interesting thing, though.
If there's no embarrassment, it's mutual.
Oh.
It would be more than that. No,
because if it's mutual, then there's no knas either.
I'm saying so.
No, but
no,
you don't pay. Right. According to this arrangement, if the minig is you pay by the nisuin, then the marshal's kash is only when one of the tzadim is paying the knas. If it's mutual, then they both agree not to have to pay the knas, so therefore they would not have to pay, even according to the marshal, even according to the shach. Okay? So, but interestingly...
Or you can say that the right to be tefeya is in effect. The other party can't table without either negotiating or coming to an agreement, but there's also some sort of deal that you two have. The fact that you could end it without any knot, isn't it?
Well,
I don't know if it's, it could be that the shach will say that even in the case where they both, you know, agree to dissolve the shidduch.
If they both agree to dissolve the shidduch, no, he doesn't. Look at the shach. The shach brings it down on the top right of page 3. Marshal biyam shloimei perakama perak babakama perak yud simin lametetz kasav the chol shadchanus stoma any regular shadchanus ki ilu hisna amenas she espies the kinyan. I want you to get me to the point that we have a kinyan with a knas with protection. If one of the tzadim backs out, that now he says a very interesting that asheni einu yochel lahitzi haknas. The guy who backed out, very often is the case, the guy who backed out is a tough guy. He's his political clout. And I'm going to go be teveya him, the knas, for backing out. I'm never going to get the money. So, can the shatran still claim against, you know, claim from the guy can he still say, look, I got you to the point of the knas. The fact that you have a problem getting the knas from the other side, that's, you know, that's your problem, but I should get paid. Your marshal says not like that. Hasheni ein yochel loitzi haknas chayv hashatran lahachzir lo chelka mehashatchanos. He cannot take the shatchanos in that case, because part of this, I understand that you got me to a point of knas is that you got me to the point of knas that I can collect. If I can't collect the knas, then you didn't really help me too much. Okay, so where this marshal comes in very interesting is. What if you got the, you know, so this is again where you see that there's a real back and forth over here. When does the guy get paid? Now this is going to be very negeya. I'm not going to get to it now, but this is very negeya when in the shidduch there are two stages. There's the engagement process, and then there's the close. There's when you got married. So l'chayra, like you said, the shadchan is really out of the picture at that point. But what about in a broker on a deal? at the point where he got them to agree to a price and they went into contract, is that enough? Or do you say he also has to, does the fact that, does he have to wait till it closes? Is that is, or do you say yeah? That's much more poshut. The whole thing's about the sale. I don't care about the. I don't care about the.
According to the crow, you have to be telling
them. Okay, you know. So we'll have to see. Right. Okay, but you should just say what's in general. In other words, what's the idea? Why does someone have a sarisa to get him into a contract? Or that's insignificant until you get the closing. See, over here, they understand that there's things that they have to work out, right? On the other hand, you could say fakir. There's a far the opposite way, which is that by a monetary deal, a sale, there's only one issue, basically. It's the price. Everything's about money. A little more, a little less. Even if it's damaged. Okay, it's damaged, so it costs less. But everything's about the money. So once I got them to agree on the money, on the price, it could be the shot, the sarsa will say, I got you to the point of agreement. So I'm out of the picture once we hit a contract. But, and therefore I did my job. As opposed to a shidduch, it's not all about money. It's a lot about money. But it's not only about money. There could be that there's other things also. So if the fact that he, until he, there's a lot of things that they have to work out themselves, you know what I mean?
Broke it and now they want
right, okay, so there's some contingencies. There's some contingencies, right. Yeah. Right. Okay, so we have to see. So by a shidduch, we're saying here that there's two stages to the shidduch. There's two stages, and it depends on the minhag ha'makom. It depends on the agreement, and maybe the knas would protect one side over the other. That remains to be seen what's going to be the halacha in the case of a sale that broke. I'm gonna let's just for the before we end, let's just start the shaila, okay? In such a case like that, when what's gonna be the halacha in such a case when? Let me see here. Yeah. One second. I have that Medvuda here. Okay, this is a Trumas Hadeshen, which is on page 10. Okay? It comes from a Trumas Hadeshen on page 10. And he says like this, short piece. Trumas Hadeshen says the following. Yeah, it's on page 10. Okay? Or page 21 in this thing. Al davar hashadchanos nira lefum riata de'ein lachazchos litvaya. Now, what was the shaila? The Trumas Hadeshen is usually it's a very interesting. It's written very interesting because a lot of times it's shailas of tshuvas, but it doesn't bring the shaila. So you don't really know what the question. He's just answering the question. The question was basically there was a shidduch and it broke off. That was more or less the question. So he says, and nira lefum riata de'ein lachazchos litvaya. You cannot claim it back if the guy broke the shidduch. Umasher isabor zerua the masesh in the spice gemara shatlan pula. So that along that you got the sudden to agree, it's considered nigmar. Harzur mayu lehedya hechad the asne beferish be'almanashi espayas lekoinsa. This is very important. So the deal was that I want you to find me someone willing to marry my daughter and to come to an agreement. Then I'm going to pay you. I means that's what you spoke out with the shatlan. You didn't mention that they have to get married. So that's where the Arzura holds you have to pay. Vikivin shin espai is gomer pulasu. So now the guy did everything he was supposed to. What else should you want him to do? Ava bestama, but if you didn't speak it out that way, ein noyagim bigvuleinu ligvois shum schar shadchonos elim ken yigmuru anisu. And the classical minig is only if they actually get married. Okay? So he says, literally, it would depend on what you said. Okay? It would depend on what...
The marshal, you have to wait and see if you can collect the counts.
The Marshal is bringing the Knas. The Trumas Hadeshen is not saying that. The Trumas Hadeshen must go much more to the point. He says it all has to do with getting with finishing up the deal.
You have to say
this. Which way?
That is supposed to
be. Right. He's saying that's the minagam. That's in, what's his lashon? Bistoma. A noyagin. Yeah. In other words, some sort of umdana that our deal is only if they get married. Okay. So according to the Trumas Hadeshen, you have to speak out what is the schaivus of the shadchan. Now, furthermore, what comes up in a lot of cases, a lot of tshuvas deal with the following issue, which is what happens if, the shaila of the Mordechai was a very interesting shaila. He said that there was a guy, he wanted to find a certain boy for his wife, for his daughter. He had a certain boy in mind. And he tells the shadchan, he says, you go there to that city and get that boy to come here and meet my daughter. So, Lemaisa, he did that. But then they didn't get married. So, the shadchan says, look, I slept over to the place. I got the guy. I got him to come here. Now the ball's in your court. So I want to get paid. And the other guy says, obviously, I meant get him here so that they can get married. But if they don't get married, I'm not paying. Right? So in other words, what happens if the guy did everything he needed to do, everything in his yecholus to do, but the deal doesn't close? Okay? So if you look on page 12...
Well, he got him to go to there, but he got them to get engaged?
No.
Not even to get engaged.
Right. But again, the point is, here's a little, like you see from the Chumash Sedeshin, it may depend on what you said. It may depend on what did you hire him for. Right? So look at this Mordechai. It's on page 12. Okay? The Mordechai says, let's go down here. Mordechai, page 12. There's Mordechai on page 11, but there's another one, page 12. This is the Mordechai in Baba Kama. On, it says, there's a little Kufayin Gimel on the side. It says, Nish'alti. Okay? It says, Nish'alti Esek Ruvain Shetan Al Shimin. Okay, Ruvain has a Tainan Shimon. He's Chartani. You hired me, Leilach Ad Klunya, to go to the city of Klunya. Lehishtadl b'shvil zivug achoyscha. You have a sister. You wanted me to be mishtadl to find a boy for her. V'amartali. And you told me, imayisi yochol lasis neged habachor shahaya bapai. If you, I could convince the bachor to come to this city, az ha'isanoisin li tezvav dinner. You would pay me 15 coins. B'shvil schirusi for hiring me. V'halachti achar. And I went and I found the boy and I brought him. Ubar b'kan. And I gave him the letter, and in the letter it spoke out, you know, what I was offering for the shidduch. I want my payment. You told me to do it. I did it. Shimon says, I never promised you anything. If they get married. And they didn't get married. And it was out of my control. Look, if Pshat is, you brought the guy, and then you brought the guy, and then I decided I don't like him, maybe that's my fault. But here, it was out of my control. He didn't want, so you didn't really do your job. You brought me a guy. Very nice, you brought him. I thought you were going to bring him and convince him to go through with it. So, the Mordechai says, it depends. Heshafti. Im nodar, okay, you see where it is, right here. Heshafti. Im nodar Shimon tezvav dinar b'shul schar tirchai. If Shimon promised him the 15 coins, shetarach lalachis l'sham, that for the tirchai itself, avo pishalay niskayim azivuk. All I said was, I'm hiring you to do the work of bringing him back and forth from the city. Chayv litin l'schar, then you gotta pay him. Kidin kol poyol, like a regular hired worker. Shezoyche b'schar, kishenigmar malachta. He finished the job. Afilu b'loy kinyin, without a kinyin. Vidami, you know, there's a Gemara Kedushin that says, Ha'oimer, if you learn Kedushin, it sounds familiar. It says, Ha'oimer li'isha, re'et mekudeshesli amenas she'adabar alayich l'shiltoi. I want you to marry me, amenas, you go speak on the government on my behalf. So let's say he speaks to the government, and then the government doesn't listen to the guy's request. Okay, but I did my job. So basically, the maskana of the Mordechai is that if the deal was to go, then you got to pay. If the deal was to get married, then you don't have to pay. But what's bestam? It's not clear if they're arguing about that. So he says, "Amanash is kaim chayv zman b'im kedivrei Shimon shloy nadar ela b'gmar zivagas poter Shimon legamri ki kama shatchanim yegim lerik umoytzim harbe ve'ena matzlichen." Well, that's a job of a shatchan, isn't it? If it was so easy to be a shatchan, everyone would be it, right? So obviously, a lot of people work very hard. And a lot of work, and it doesn't always go through. They lose out a lot of their own tircha. So therefore, Yishava Shimon Shalai Nada Leklum. Shimon should make a shavua that he never promised him the money unless the shidduch goes through, and then he will be potter. Okay? So we're going to continue next week is talking about a lot of these different cases when the deal doesn't close and thing doesn't happen the way it's supposed to. So what's the halacha? You know, is there a monetary obligation in such a case?
Why
do I
have to shvua? What? Why have to have a shvua? Why?
Because it's a shvua derabanan, because he's tining, because he's trying to be kaifer for the moment. He's being kaifer, he's denying the claim. When you're denying a claim, you got to be a kashua.
Right, but you know that the people weren't shvua, weren't making a shvua.
Right, so, but he's denying the claim. You say, why is he the muchzuk, you're saying? Why is the...
Yeah,
okay, let me look into it. Right, he's saying that nowadays we don't make shvuas, so then the other guy's a little stuck. So what do we do with that? Okay, let's finish it up next week, okay? I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
Very good. Okay, so we'll pick it up next week, Rabbi Say. Hopefully we'll clarify the rest of it. Okay. Cultive.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thanks, Cultive, everyone. What?
Is there a fee for both sides?
Well, again, this was...
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works yet. I didn't get clarity on that.
For Shabbos or for sale?
Right.
Could they split the fee? Like, how does that work?
I think what happens is that if one person asked and the other person didn't, then he pays yored. One of them has to pay the full fee, and one of them only has to pay the yored fee.
I mean, take let's go back to Shachanis.